Let the spirit of the Kennedys
and the magic of the Disney brothers be with you always.
Blood and Business Legacy merch, available now.
Let's run faster,
work harder,
burn brighter
before we're gone.
Order your Blood and Business Legacy merch today.
Today, we are going to take you on a journey, on a trip to another world, another dimension. You are now entering Bethany and Cassie's Twilight Zone.
With everything that has happened in Act 1, the Kennedy curse is so in your face that you're really like, what is happening here? And then with everything that's about to happen in Act 2, you just can't look away. You can't deny what deeper level is there. There are too many things. That's why the Kennedy curse exists, is because there enough people have gotten on board with the fact that there are too many freaking coincidences.
We need to talk about the Kennedy siblings. Episode 10. Welcome to Blood and Business.
I'm Bethany.
And I'm Cassie.
Favorite line from episode 10?
What purpose would there be in having any more money?
And that was not even a quote. We're quoting Cassie.
Yeah.
So Cassie and I were watching episode 10 to prep for this KFM. And it hit me in the middle of watching it. I paused
it. Bolt of lightning.
And I looked over at Cassie and I said, Cassie, not a single one of the Kennedy kids even attempted to make their own money. What in the world? 9 out of 9, which, I mean, if Kick getting married to Billy was an attempt at getting more money, then 8 out of 9, but still.
I don't think it was about money with Kick, though. I think
it was more like
Billy.
Prestige.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it was the label, the
I agree.
Position.
9 out of 9 children didn't even try to go into business
for
themselves.
That is conditioning.
What?
That is conditioning. It was just their entire childhood. Their dad was telling them, I made the money. You're going to go out and use it. There's a parable in the Bible that portrays this rich man who, in our society, you would deem as a wise person because he is a very responsible person. He seems like he's being a good steward, and he saves up all of his resources and money, and Jesus calls him a fool. And it's very interesting because it's like the opposite, or it's like an upside down parable of what you would think would be the responsible, wise thing to do. And I feel like that is what the Kennedys,
they were like so countercultural,
lived out. Yeah. They stored up all this money really, really, really fast and then spent it all as fast as they freaking could too. It's interesting to think that the morally better decision would be to spend it, to use it. Your whole life you learn, oh, I need to save my money. I need to be responsible. I shouldn't spend it. I shouldn't. And obviously it's not spending it like on, I mean, the Kennedys didn't just
party it all away. Gatsby it all away.
Right. There's a difference, a huge difference. But it's just, I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah. It's like the whole sphere thing. Where the worst thing and the best thing are like right next to each other.
Yeah.
And you, I think it, our human brains want to believe that opposites are super far apart and they're really so freaking close.
Yeah.
They're like the same, they're two different sides of the same coin. They're not a diamond and a nickel, you know? I don't really know how to describe that, but
I know, it's kind of an abstract thought. I can't even explain.
That's probably why it's so hard to grasp and why it's so hard to live out. But spending money on meaningless, useless things could be the morally worst thing to do. But not spending your money and valuing it too much and saving it and storing it up is also,
yeah,
the worst thing. So you're not supposed to do like the opposite of spending. You're just supposed to spend it in a wise way.
Spend it on others, on an actual productive endeavor.
Yeah. But the Kennedys, I think, are just so full of these moral dilemmas because they were so extreme and countercultural in their way of thinking for so many reasons.
There's a quote in episode 11 when we talk about Jackie's experience with the Kennedys that is Bethany's favorite quote. And it's so, 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 so specifically accurate in this thought of, you know what? Nobody can freaking understand it except for the Kennedys.
The Kennedys, yeah, were on a plane in and of themselves. Like they...
It essentially says they were as selfless and as generous as you could even, like you couldn't even imagine. And they were the most self-righteous people as well. They were the most religious and divine-minded people. And they were the most cynical you could ever experience. And it's just like... Everything within the Kennedy family was a contradiction and it was
an oxymoron.
Yes. And
it didn't make sense.
It said that on paper, none of it makes sense, but the Kennedys operated on some higher plane, some higher field that only they could understand. And
it's like they were all on the same page too, which is maybe one of the most bizarre things because I feel like there are a lot of people like this in history. Not a lot, but I mean, they stand out for a reason, but there are several occurrences of this type of person where they just get something. They have like this divine appointment that seems so out of the ordinary. And
it's like, how do you understand that? How did you learn that?
Yeah, they just make their mark on the world.
Which brings up.
But hold on. It's not that this is like the most. That the Kennedys were so weird in that way, that they had some divine calling, some divine understanding. It's that all 11 of them were on the exact same page and okay, 10 out of the 11. Maybe 9 out of the 11.
That is going to be, I'm so sorry, but that's just going to be the running thing. And
they were just so on the same page. Yeah, they were so on the same page. And it's like they divided and conquered, yet they were so united. And that to me is the most bizarre because you have these families when you dig into them, because I've always been fascinated by family dynamics. And when you dig into these infamous people, most of them are not all on board. Most of the time, it's one person who's on board. With the Kennedys, there's so many of them that you would think that it would be more diverse of a pot. And it's not. They were just like,
yeah, you would think that there would be different opinions or people would want to live their life in different ways and disagree on that.
Yeah, how did they all agree? How are they all so... And it's not like they were just robots and they just did whatever their dad said. Like, they all had their own ideas and their own thoughts and their own aspirations, and yet they were still all so gung-ho with this one mission and were all able to lead but also be led.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard balance.
It's interesting. I haven't really let myself think about the spiritual aspect of the Kennedys, but I don't know how actually spiritual the Kennedys were. I know how religious each of them were, but I don't really know how spiritual each of them were. I know that Rose and Joe Sr. both in very different ways were very spiritual. And I think that Joe Jr. was very spiritual as well.
Okay.
Like Joe Sr. thought of things in a divine way and he communicated with God, and when he needed something, when he wanted to accomplish something, that's where he went.
Mm-hmm.
Rose, it was like that's where she lived.
Yep.
Joe Jr., I think that he also saw that. Jack, I don't know. But I wonder, did Jack have some divine timer that he was born with, or he like knew
that he was gonna live a short life,
that he needed to run because he was gonna get cut off? Was JFK divinely called and appointed
for 46 years
with an innate divine clock, an internal clock where he just knew to further the civil rights movement? I know that he was always on death's door and people were always telling him, you're about to die. But it seemed like he had more of a sense than just that. It was like he was so confident and like wasn't worried about it until Kick died and he said, I don't think I'm going to live. I don't think I'm going to finish out this decade or whatever. Because he didn't act like, okay, I don't have time to do anything. A lot of people act like that. Oh, I'm just going to have fun because I don't have time to accomplish anything. I'm about to die.
That's what I'm trying to think about, because with the knowledge that you may not have a very long life, you can take several different paths with that.
Mm-hmm.
The party hard, I only have a few years left. What can I even do with that? What can I even accomplish?
Because several
Why
times
spend it working?
When he was very young, he was told, you have a year.
Mm-hmm.
So why work on yourself? If that's what's telling you I don't have very long, then you would just be like, okay, well, I'm just going to have fun while I'm here.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like the chicken or the egg. Did he end up dying young because he like self-prophesied that over himself? You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's that too.
It was a self-fulfilling prophecy and he lived a risky life. So odds were that he wasn't going to live very long.
Because he expected that
and yeah, behaved as such. Yeah, he's almost like looking for those opportunities where he could get hurt. He had a lot of risk-taking behavior.
But risky behavior that wasn't like life-threatening. Like there's a bunch of mountain climbers and people who are actually physically laying their life on the line. The only thing he did like that was shoot meth and go fight in the war. But he didn't do anything else that was like really physically threatening.
Yeah, that's true. But he also was like taking out the freaking mafia and hanging out with people who...
Yeah, it's like he didn't live by this world's rules. He felt like he was so safe. Was he a normal person who had selfish ambitions, who took an opportunity to be awesome and powerful and the president and known and have fun? Or was he put in the family he was put in 1917 to be on the earth for 46 years with an innate sense that he was going to have about that long to live. And he freaking knew, I've got to run, but I've got enough time to complete my assignment and bust the doors down on civil rights before I'm taken out. It's just I've never thought about JFK being a spiritual person. Probably because of his promiscuity.
What do you mean?
Like, I just always thought, okay, everyone else in his family is religious and thinks about God and has faith and, like, cares about that. Definitely Bobby. Definitely Joe Jr. Definitely Joe Sr. Definitely Rose. Definitely Eunice. But JFK wasn't so Catholic.
Right. He wasn't super religious, but everyone is a spiritual being. I don't understand.
But like aware of that and like operating in that. There's a lot of people who don't really think about that. Like they have souls, but they're not living their life in another world. Like I'm wondering if he wasn't looking at the earth from this perspective. Was he a hyper realist and operated in this world more than anyone else in his family? Or did he view the world from some other perspective, from a higher plane, from a maybe a divine?
I think everyone in the Kennedys operated on that level. I think even Kick, that's why it was such a choice. That's why it was such a debate within herself, because they did weigh their decisions heavily. And I think that they understood.
I kind of think you're right. And I hadn't thought of it like that at all. But once you think of it like that, all of them made decisions from that viewpoint. And that's why all the contradictions made sense to them, because it doesn't make sense in the natural world. It doesn't make sense on paper. But like nothing in the spiritual world is as it appears. It isn't as it seems. And that's how the freaking Kennedys live their life. And that's why what you're saying with Kick
was such a battle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the two wolves inside of her. To me, the most extreme version of living on the planet and being a freaking robot is being comfortable and doing whatever like looks good but doesn't really matter, staying very surface level, assuming that the world that you see is the world that you're living in, whether that be you're only paying attention to your actual personal experience and you're not putting it in the greater context of history, of the planet, of the realms, or whether that be you're the center of your universe type of a thing. But it, to me, it seems like the Kennedys made all of their decisions knowing that they could create insane, lasting change for what mattered, for the fight of good versus evil. Yet they were also nowhere near the most important being or thing in existence. And also, this lifetime was not the end for them.
Right. As if they didn't do anything to consume it, to serve themselves. Well, I mean, obviously they did a lot of things to serve themselves, but like the bigger picture, the strategic plan for their life wasn't based on that.
Correct. It was definitely...
Which is why Kick stands out so much.
But I do think that they were so in justify the means and kind of okay with breaking the rules, the moral rules that we have as a society in order to accomplish their greater purpose. Or I just cannot get there without there being some sort of divine appointment, whether they were aware of it or not, whether it was like controlling them.
Right.
And it was just this magnetic like pull to all accomplish this goal because that's what they were set out to do. Like that's why they were created. Or in a way, like if JFK was knit together with this special ability to fight against his illnesses day after day and his core desire was so aligned because that was given to him. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or if it was a conscious, this is as a family, what we have decided is going to be our greater purpose.
And we work hard to stay focused and to always be striving for it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's both because I think that that's the difference between JFK and Kick. We're all given these innate talents and abilities that really are inexplicable. Like Kick and Jack, we're both given this charisma and ability to literally influence people. They were given that. They did not learn how to mesmerize people. It was almost to the point where it made no earthly sense. And people said that. Mm-hmm. They're like, I don't know what it was. She wasn't even very attractive, to be honest. Look at her face. Normal.
Not that pretty.
Like, very average. But I could not get away from her. I couldn't get her out of my freaking head. She just had something. And JFK had it as well. And they both abused it, for sure.
Uh-huh.
Like many humans abuse their strengths and their powers that they were given. But they didn't work for it. And Kick decided to use hers for herself. And Jack forced himself to use it for others.
And himself.
It was given to them. And that you can choose, they chose how to use it.
I think Joe Sr. is the one who wielded the power the most and the most clearly because he literally bargains with God. Like he...
I know. Isn't that insane? Okay. You have to freaking talk about that. I never gave that story two thoughts. I was just like, okay, yeah, he was a desperate man and he prayed like we all do. Dude, what in the crud? Like, what if JFK really was about to die and
he changed fate?
No.
What if he literally is the reason that Joe Jr.
Like Joe Sr. straight up bargained with God and gave half of his money to the poor in exchange for Jack's life. Just think about if you heard that as like a little fable when you were a kid, or like this story about, oh, he danced with the devil. Like if you even entertain the idea that that stuff could be real, then that freaking was real. In 2 seconds, I can get there. That, yeah, JFK's life was divinely appointed and protected. Look at what all he freaking lived through, somehow unscathed. And it also kind of makes sense that God would favor them because of what they were going to accomplish for others. The fact that, like, the pact that Joe made with God supposedly was giving a bunch of money to the poor and taking care of orphans and widows, technically, quote unquote. And then that the Special Olympics was going to come out of that family and out of JFK being president, and civil rights were going to move forward out of him being president. It's not like, oh, he was divinely appointed to do absolutely nothing but be the Wolf of Wall Street. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just really interesting.
Yeah, and if you think about racism being one of the most evil, anti-human, anti-love mm-hmm. things that could exist, and that's what JFK was out to
dismantle and attack. Yeah, it's like if you think about it, like a spiritual battle, like spiritual warfare, good versus evil,
mm-hmm.
angels versus demons.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty freaking eerie.
Yeah. But I also sort of wonder, too, back with the whole ends justify the means struggle that I have. Because when we're talking about, okay, good versus evil, if there is this spiritual war waging around JFK and civil rights mm-hmm. during this time, JFK gets taken out. And assassinated.
And MLK gets taken out. And Bobby gets taken out. And Malcolm X gets taken out. The list goes on.
Then evil is winning. But I do think that those legacies and that time period lives on.
Absolutely.
Because of how they got taken out.
Yep.
Or because of
the level of crisis.
The level of chaos, the level of crisis, and how much chaos ensued in such a short amount of time
uh-huh.
and impacted so many people. The people who lived to tell the tale, the only reason they bothered telling the tale was because it impacted them so severely and it was such a shock and it was such a thing.
And maybe the good people have to be motivated to vote and take action and to freaking...
To have their eyes opened to see what type of battle it actually was. It's like they needed to bring the spiritual battle into the physical world, like physically manifest it so that people would be more aware mm-hmm. of the silent hate and the and spiritual warfare.
It's not that God struck Jack down for the cause, but like obviously if someone's doing something in a very big, impactful way for the spiritual good, then whoever's on the other side of that is going to want to freaking take them out.
Yes, exactly. And you can look at that on several different levels because on a physical level, yeah, Jack was the good trying to right the wrongs and the person who assassinated Jack was the evil that was making more chaos ensue mm-hmm. and
causing more division, more hate, more violence,
more pain, more hurt,
mm-hmm. more destruction.
It was playing out in a physical way, but I believe that everything is spiritual and everything has meaning and there's no coincidences. And were the Kennedys freaking cursed? Were they?
You know what?
Was there a freaking attack on the Kennedys? Yeah, probably, because how in the crud do you explain it? Oh, it was just all random occurrences. They were just risk takers. They brought it upon themselves. They thought that they were invincible. Well, no, they didn't, because they were getting taken out at the freaking beginning of time.
Very early. Yeah. In Act 1. I mean, Act 1, the entire thing. They hadn't even done anything
yet. They're down three people.
They hadn't even done anything yet. They hadn't
put themselves out there at
all. They hadn't even accomplished anything for the quote-unquote good of the world. Like, it's like someone, something knew what they were going to do, and they were trying to stop them.
Mm-hmm. Even Rosemary with the bigger picture, bigger context.
But it's like God
And I don't know how it really works. Yeah, I don't exactly understand it. And Cassie and I are doing a lot, like a really, our family is very nerdy. So every Saturday as like a family activity, we like do deep dives into the Kennedys on our time. And then on the Bible and dissecting that history and trying to understand,
open our minds, really like figure out and discover.
So I don't really understand. We're trying to figure out right now what that means, because the Kennedys have brought it up a lot in our lives as well. It's like, okay, maybe what society says is right is not right, and being kind is not really, maybe like, everything that we believe is flipped upside down, and we're so confused. And
like padding your retirement account might not be really the best thing, most respectful decision.
Or being, using wisdom and playing it safe is actually not the right way to live, when it feels like only rebellious, self-centered people who live frivolous lives would go out there and take all these risks. Maybe risk-taking is the way to live, because then
you're not taking risks. You're not accomplishing anything.
If you're not making enemies, you don't really stand for anything. And we're analyzing all of these people, which is literally why we started the podcast in the first place. I wanted to research people who were super successful.
But not in a
business
right
way. In a, they changed,
impact influence way.
Yeah, in an impact influence way. And the Kennedys have just made us reanalyze all of that. What is good? How should you spend your time? How should you live your life?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many things the Kennedys did that it's like, were they good or were they bad? We've come back to this in every freaking KFM. Was Joe Jr. a good dad? Was he not? Was he a good person or was he a narcissist? And having to battle that has carried over into our personal lives.
And what should you be afraid of? You know?
And why are you here?
Like, are you afraid of looking like a narcissist? Or are you afraid of going to your grave being a nice, kind person and it not really matter that you ever freaking lived on the earth?
Yeah, that no one who knew you had a problem with you, but you also didn't really impact anyone.
Do you live in fear of man or the fear of the divine?
And I think the Rosemary episodes especially brought that to our attention, because Joe and Rose were living on such a higher plane and with such a better view of themselves, of the world.
Like, we live on Earth. The Kennedys live in the Twilight Zone.
Yes. But they didn't even really bother correcting everyone's lies.
Yeah. It's like
about their family.
They could see something that we couldn't.
Yeah.
Like, they know something that we don't.
Yes. They just flew above the rest of us. And so when they saw problems or things that we like to make problems and spend time, money, energy on, they just saw it as like not even worth their while. When you have Kennedy glasses on, you see the world in a completely different light, and it almost is a filter that blurs out everything that doesn't actually matter, that we're all so stressed and anxious mm-hmm. and worried about, and allows you to focus on the things. It's like the rocking chair test. At the end of your life, what are you going to actually care about?
And is it Kennedy glasses or are they just divine glasses?
All of this to freaking say, this is why the Kennedys have disrupted our lives and made us go on this whole spiritual quest. And a lot of other things have happened in our personal lives as well. But yeah, it just made us question. I feel like we cannot be the only ones that are so existential and so curious about what actually matters and why we're actually here. And when you dissect these lives that Like, we all have the same hours in a day as Beyonce or whatever the crud that quote is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why in the world do some people have some divine plug-in, some divine calling, some divine download
source, yeah,
where they are just able to accomplish?
It's like they're literally on hyperspeed. Everything.
Yes, like they are literally on hyperspeed.
Just like every move they make,
they're not functioning,
is like the exact right one,
yes,
that is going to make a huge impact. And I'm over here trying to
pick out what you're going to wear today.
I don't know. It's just like I am on a different track.
Yes. And can you choose that track? Like, can you?
Yeah.
Can you just decide to engage? Can you decide to just plug in one day and say, okay, never mind, I'm not going to be another freaking robot that just gives it? Because Jack said it, and I don't even know if we have this quote in any of the episodes yet, but we talked about it early on in our Kennedy discussions. When Jack was young and he was, I think he had first graduated either college or high school, he was starting to figure out what made an adult or what made a person successful. And he figured out that nobody had any idea what in the crowd was happening.
That was episode 5, I think. Just realized, okay, these people don't have some intelligence that I don't have access to, some like talent that I don't, they just go out and do. So can you choose that? Can you just decide, well, I'm important too, and I have something to say, and I have something to accomplish and do, and go do it? Or are we in some kind of simulation? Are they keeping your heads in jars? Or should I be concerned about the water? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, it's like once you get a glimpse of what's possible, it's like you have that split second decision to keep going with the grain, keep going with what's appropriate or what's expected, or to pick.
You know what's weird? Because I think that you can kind of tell who knows what you know. The first person I'm thinking of is Katy Perry. Like, I feel like she knows. She thinks of the world like that and sees the world like that. And she has several songs that are like, she has a freaking million. I can freaking reference a million of them. But it's like, Who Am I Living For?
Mm-hmm.
That song. She also has Heavy Is the Head Who Wears the Crown. Don't let the greatness get you down. Well, and then the flip side is like Taylor Swift. I don't think she sees it. I don't think she, like, operates on that plane. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you can see, like, Lana has a song that's like, I think you know the secrets that I do. I think you know God like I do. I think you know people like I do. I think you understand. Like, there's certain people who you know just
have that deeper
extra level.
But it's not but do they have it?
It's not intelligence. It's
understanding.
Yes.
Like,
it's a different
vision. Did you learn it or did you understand it?
Yes. Yes.
Like, you can know without knowing.
Uh-huh.
With Taylor Swift, no.
She knows about God.
Yeah. She knows that there are angels and demons.
She doesn't.
Good versus evil.
She doesn't know. She doesn't operate in that
But
realm.
What is the correlation? Like, the...
Isn't that weird? You can tell.
The researcher in me wants to know the correlation. Because, are you just given these divine moments where the fog, like, lifts from your eyes?
It's a moment of grace.
A moment of grace where you're able
to see.
You're
given.
See, feel, and know for a moment.
The ability.
Where the stars align for you. Your head, your gut, your spirit is able to see clearly. Or do we all have access to that all the time? And it takes, like, pain to wake you up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
are you called? Did Taylor Swift deny the assignment, or was she not called? Did she ignore the call, or can she not hear it?
Yeah, it's like the Polar Express.
Yeah.
Jingle bell. It's like, can you hear the...
And can you choose to hear it? Can you choose to just have faith and believe like you could in the Polar Express, right?
Yeah.
Can't you just, in the Polar Express, you can choose?
Well, the little boy at the beginning, he like can't hear it. And then he goes on this journey. He doesn't really, like, he does choose to follow, to run after the train and to hop on it. But he doesn't believe until after he gets back because he's like seeing Santa at that point.
Dude. And like, who wrote the Polar Express? Because somebody knows something.
Somebody knows something that we know. But yeah, and I think that in different points in history, it's been easier in the flesh to see that we're all just butt models.
But well, if you're going to say that, you have to explain it. I still don't get it, but.
But it's like the Native Americans. Like, they have this inner knowing. Oh,
they knew.
They knew. That there are spirits, that it's not just us. Mm-hmm. That there is something going on that the wind tells
that
tales.
You can't see, but you can feel, and you can see.
And you, yeah. There Woo-hoo. Is a greater context. There is a greater pull, a greater calling, a greater, I don't know. It's like our physical is so limited, but the spiritual within the physical is infinite. So the times when that all lines up is so
yeah, and it's
minuscule. But if you, I think that what it is, what it boils down to, is that you can choose to grab a hold of those little moments. I think that everyone has those little moments.
Okay.
And you can choose to grab a hold of it. And
so did you chase the train or not?
Yeah.
Were you willing to lay your pride down and chase the train? Or did you just say, that's delusional?
Yeah. Or did your pride get in the way, your ego get in the way, and you
didn't want to be chasing an invisible. You didn't want to be seen chasing an invisible train.
Which is the one thing that the Kennedys never freaking did. They were so okay, looking so insane all the time. But they believed it in their innermost being that it sold it so well that everyone around them, like, could, they just knew. They know something that I don't know. Mm-hmm. They are on some sort of level.
Even people who didn't know about the train, they didn't see the train. They knew there's clearly something that you are seeing, that you are chasing.
That you have some source of energy.
Something's going on there. It's very, very obvious.
Life speeded up, okay, with the Kennedys.
That's just
that
crazy.
Is just what
Whenever
it was.
Whenever you
that
think like about all these quotes in this context, it just goes like it. All of it expands and it all starts to line up and make sense instead of being like this, wow, that's like so mysterious. It's such a crazy random happening. It's like, no, it's not. Freaking red string theory, okay? Everything iceberg theory is connected. There's always more to the story. There are no coincidences.
It is so
eerie.
Things
don't just randomly fall from the sky.
And that's why with the whole, I think that we cut this out of the Lincoln thing, but in the Lincoln conspiracy in KFM 1, I was saying, it's like there's, I think that we left in a little bit of this, but it's like, okay, you have the timeline string, right? And that just is a horizontal.
Oh, that's so freaking line. Weird.
But there's all of the space above and below that horizontal line that we can't see. And I feel like with all the coincidences there, there has to be some sort of spiritual connection or underlying curse.
Yeah.
Warfare happening there that either like the same demonic force that was after Lincoln grabbed a hold of freaking JFK and did the same thing there.
The dates line up, the assassins line up,
the names line up,
the letters line up,
the cause, the moral causes like, line up.
It's basically the exact same moment in history repeated.
Exactly.
It's like the same, the same.
So I feel like you can either attribute that to like and simulation if, and there's, we're all in some freaking sick joke Truman Show.
Or reincarnation. Or spiritual warfare.
Or spiritual warfare.
Those are your options.
But something is happening. But I can't tell, yeah, if the correlation, because yeah, the researcher in me is so wanting to see, okay, correlation doesn't equal causation, but like, is there something there?
Correlation doesn't equal causation, but correlation in and of itself is telling you something. You know?
Yeah, it's saying something, that's for sure.
Now thinking of the Kennedys in this context, I want you to revisit the KFM 2 conspiracy.
Do you know what the KFM 2 conspiracy was, Cassie? Is JFK gay?
No, that wasn't the conspiracy. Well, that was one of them. Yeah, it was. That was one of them. But I thought that that also a conspiracy in that episode. Yeah, I know it was. Was did JFK, because he was named John Fitzgerald, take Joe Jr.'s firstborn fate that Honey Fitz had prayed for or manifested? And because Joe Jr. wasn't named John Fitzgerald and Honey Fitz had been praying or manifesting for this grandson of his that was going to be named John Fitzgerald, Joe Jr., the firstborn, didn't get it like Honey Fitz was thinking, that the one who was named John Fitzgerald, who was the secondborn, got it.
Right. I don't know if...
Like, what is that?
Honey Fitz speaking it into existence over this name, and obviously words are powerful. Manifesting works, doesn't work, I don't freaking know. I remember saying in episode 2, or was it in season 1?
What's the thought that I'll tell you?
There is a recording of me saying that manifesting doesn't exist. Maybe it's in the Kardashians.
No, I think it's in the...
Or maybe it's in both. But I say, oh, manifesting's like not a real thing. You just focus on what you want and therefore you're motivated and it's your goal and you're more likely to accomplish it because...
Maybe it wasn't the Kardashians. You like set out remember. To do it. Yeah.
Anyways. Well, now I don't even believe that. We also...
Agree.
We also said, I think it was Cassie that said, you don't believe in coincidences, but applying that to the Kennedys is like too insane to think about.
Right.
If coincidences don't exist.
I've always said I don't believe in coincidences. Yeah.
And then we also said, which I think this was on Instagram, that we didn't believe in like the Kennedy curse, that it was like an actual curse. And now I freaking think it was.
No, I know.
Everything that I thought I knew, I don't know.
You know what's interesting about that? We know this. I listened to a lot of true crime podcasts. And then I got paranoid and then I stopped. And then I made Blood and Business. But you're able to see if your theory is correct about who did what in your investigation when the further you zoom in, the magnifying glass gets closer, everything starts to make more sense and fit together even more tightly and exactly. And you're like, you get closer.
You're not having to omit anything because it doesn't
yes,
fit.
Yes, you get yeah. closer, and the closer you get, the more sense it makes. Unless you're wrong, the closer you get, the less your theory makes sense. That's how you can freaking tell if you're on the right track. The more you find out, it will push you one way or the other.
Correct.
When you stick the Kennedys under a microscope, the only thing that freaking makes sense and makes more and more sense is the spiritual aspect. And it makes less and less sense that all of this was just randomly thrown at the wall.
Happenstance, yeah. Well, I feel like investigating anything gets you there. And I think that's where the choice is to either say that the hyperfixation is just telling you that and you're like imagining it in a way, all of the red strings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the connections and you're seeing it because you're choosing to see it. Or you can accept the fact that the reality is that those red cars were there all along and you buying a red car just allowed you mental space to become aware of all the red cars. Do you know what I'm saying? It gave you access to that, to seeing that, even though the red cars were there the whole time.
Tune in next week to hear all about the most glamorous first lady America has ever known.
Thank you all for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, please give us a review on Apple, rate us on Spotify, and share Blood and Business with a friend or a sibling. If you'd like to support the show, the best way is to become a patron of Blood and Business. You will get bonus content every month, including a monthly bonus episode, interactive main episodes, and behind-the-scenes footage.
To keep up with us day to day, you can follow us at Blood and Business on Instagram and TikTok. You can find the link for Instagram, TikTok, and Patreon in the show notes below. Thank you so much for the support, and we will see you back here next week for your regularly scheduled programming on
Blood and Business.
be honest, I really didn't think we were going to go here. Maybe that's why literally KFM 10 has been the most impossible episode we've ever tried to get our hands on. Like, the amount of times that we have refilmed, scrapped, trashed, moved it. We've never tried this hard to get a single episode ever.
The real-time investigation discovery.
Can't unhear it.
Is happening before your eyes. So we need to have a disclaimer at the bottom of is not liable for anything said.
Literally.
Because subject to change. But Cassie's husband always gets mad at us because we are way too serious. And nothing can just be casual and whatever.
Nothing can just be.
Everything has to be 5 levels deeper than anyone ever wanted it to be.
He would say hyper existential or hyper spiritual.
And we've always been this way. A lot of it we get from our dad. A lot of it, I think we were just born with this emo existential kid inside of us where we're just, I take everything too seriously and everything is like this heavy burden. Yeah. And
if it's not
responsibility, if it's not painful, then it doesn't matter. And to Cassie, everything,
if it's not painful, like, it's not right. That's yeah. the thing.
And Cassie is always looking to like leave her mark.
Perpetually looking at the sky.
I'm looking at the grave. Cassie's looking at the stars.
That's what it is. That is exactly it.
Because both of us have the end in mind. But you are just now seeing our full selves. And
I'm eagerly awaiting people's responses. I want to see what people think.